folks, this is Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 89. And though 89 may not seem like a number we're celebrating, what is worth celebrating is that just 1 year ago, yesterday, we had our very first Retro Crush podcast. I mean, it may seem hard to believe that we have 89 episodes in 1 year, being that I do about one every 2 weeks now. But, for a while there, I was doing like 4 episodes a week. I was like on fire. But then, I decided that, maybe sleeping is good, and, I should pay attention to my family. So, I've been doing more like one a week in more recent months. But, let me know what you like. Would you like to have, close to an hour episode once a week, or would you rather have a couple times a week, more like 20 minutes? These are the kind of things I'd like to know. And as always, you can call the Retro Crush hotline, 916-231-9480. Visit the Retro Crush website, of course. That's 5 years of great pop culture goodness on the web there at RetroCrush.com. And you can always email us, rberry, that's B-E-R-R-Y, at RetroCrush.com. And we even gave in and got one of those faggy MySpace pages, MySpace.com/RetroCrush. Add me to your friends list, and I'll happily add you there and probably never look at your profile again, but you'll be one of the happy 700 plus people that are currently my close internet buddies on MySpace. Well, things have been going pretty good here in Sacramento. I've been coaching my son's soccer team, assistant coaching, so I don't have final say in the stretching activities. Is really what that comes down to. But my daughter's doing soccer too. So like on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's like from 5 to 7:30. I'm doing nothing but watching soccer. And soccer is not all that great to watch sometimes. I mean, it's cool when it's your own kids, but when you're watching other people's kids play, it's kind of dull. No wonder it's what they call the pariah of the sports world. Anyway, no offense to you soccer fans out there. So, things have been going well here. I've been enjoying life, as they say, and reading some comic books lately. Going back to some of my old Johnny Ryan Angry Youth comics, and, Steven Weissman has some pretty good stuff that you should read, and been watching a lot of movies. I saw Snakes on a Plane, and I hated it. I think there was so much hype around this thing, but it just wasn't very good. And I know it's one of it's so bad, it's good. No, it's so bad, it sucks, okay? I mean, this movie is like watching a screensaver of snakes and people screaming for 2 hours. Not very entertaining, let me tell you. It just had this smugness about it, like, we know this movie's so cool because the internet says so. Well, I say, avoid Snakes on a Plane. I wasted good money to see that, actually, because they didn't screen it for critics. Normally, I get to see my movies for free, the way God intended. But I had to pay to see that one because they didn't screen it for the critics because, they wanted a pure experience for the fans. But that's usually a good warning sign, when they don't let a critic see a movie. It's because it sucks, is really what happens there. So, I've had, some nice beer, a little Pete's Wicked Ale. It's wicked good. It's aptly named. And I had some Trader Joe's wine. That's pretty good stuff. You can't go wrong with the $2 chuck there. I think this is a Shiraz. And I spent a little time in the hot tub relaxing in the nighttime air, and I'm ready to give you the show that you deserve. And I've got a special contest to celebrate our 1 year anniversary, where I've got several DVDs that I'm going to be giving away. And, I got this CD. I won't tell you what it's called, but it's like all these great, like, kind of wussy 70s songs. Light rock kind of stuff, And I'm a sucker for those kind of songs. I mean, this is stuff like, it's a 2-disc set, and it's got, like, Babe from Styx and Without You by Harry Nilsson, Al Stewart's Time Passages, stuff that's guaranteed to make your manhood shrivel and your womanhood flourish. But what we've got here as a contest is I've got almost a 3-minute compilation of various intros to these songs. And as you will hear, these songs from the 70s, the light rock, less talk kind of stuff, has this special magical crystalline rainbow unicorn Pegasus quality to it that today's music just doesn't have. And I hope that you enjoy it. So get out a pencil or a pen or an Etch-a-Sketch or maybe a Woolly Willy or something like that. Maybe a magic slate, but don't lift up the paper because it's just going to erase your good hard work there. And write down the answers to the song clips that you're about to hear. Now, I'm not going to play it twice because, frankly, you're not listening to this live. Let's be honest. This is on an iPod or something else. And if you're listening to it live, get the fuck out of my house, you crazy psycho. But anyway, you can rewind it if you need to hear more. And here is what I've dubbed as the Wuss Rock Medley. There's about 10 clips here, maybe more. I don't know. But see if you can name all of these lovely clips here. Some easy ones and some tough ones in there, and just email me at rberry@retrocrush.com with your answers, and I got some great stuff that I'll be giving away to many people that answer them. Even if you answer a lot of them correctly, or just a few of them, and you sound cool, you know, I'm in a given mood. I've got the special Apocalypse Now DVD set. I've got the Brick Inside Man, I got Mario Brothers, Super Show, Cops, I got so much stuff. I'll give you a big choice of DVDs to choose from, because, you know, I love you guys, and I really like sharing with you. By the way, thanks to good old Steve from thesneeze.com, he gave us a plug on his website, and I got about double the amount of listeners on the last two episodes that we normally get, so thanks to you, Steve, you are the hit maker of the podcast world. And if you haven't checked out Steve's website, it's thesneeze.com. And it's kind of to websites what Mount Everest is to mountains. You know, if that's too heavy for you, let me know. But that's kind of where I'm coming from. And you know, one of the groups that you heard in that medley, I won't say what song it was, but it was Chicago. And you know, I was reading Peter Cetera's website. It's I think it's petercetera.com. And he's been interacting with his fans on there, and it's kind of funny because he has like these fan appreciation parties, and you see a picture standing with all these like revolting people, and he looks like, holy shit, why am I here? You know, but you know, that guy could sing. You know, he could sing a song, and the stuff he did with Chicago was just great. And probably one of my favorite songs of his, which you can find in the Chicago Greatest Hits collection, is the song called If You Leave Me Now. And man, it's so good. A lot of people might remember this song when they had that Petco commercial, and that dog puppet was singing this in the car. But it lives still on strong to this day.
If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me. Ooh, oh, baby, please don't go.
Man, if that ain't like creamed butter for the corn in your ears, I don't know what is. That's just some, you know, make you melt in your seat kind of music there. Another one of my, you know, what's great about Chicago is their musicianship was first and foremost fantastic. In fact, one of their early hits, 25 or 624, which we played a tiny bit of at the very beginning of this podcast, is just a great song. I just, the horns, the brass, and the woodwinds, I believe, which symbolize the wolf, and the oboe symbolizes the grandfather, I think, if you're listening to Peter and the Wolf. But 25 or 64 is another great song of theirs that I really dig. Yeah. Chicago's pretty much like Earth, Wind, and Fire, only white-friendly. So, you know, they're the brass band that everybody can agree on, really. So, basically what I'm saying to you is check out some Chicago music while you're at it, you know? And, you know, like a knight in shining armor from a long time ago, I'm ready to play some voicemails here for you now.
Hey, Robert Barry, this is Peach Vampress. He mentioned at the end episode 85. I thought that was pretty cool. I feel like I've been immortalized. Just wanted to say congratulations on the one-year anniversary of the podcast. I hope it lasts many years more. You're probably going to get a bunch of people saying their favorite episode was the Juggalo Hate Mail, but mine was actually episode 34 with the Trashville Orgy Group and episode 68 where you went to play poker and it ended in a really weird hobo movie. My favorites always seem to be the ones where you just have a player and just talk about random stuff with people. One request I'd like for a future episode is maybe one about Fat Albert, because that show was just the shit. It was funny, campy, odd, and just something perfect to talk about. One quick question. About episodes 1 and 2, they're not on the podcast main page. I was wondering why, because I really wanted to download and hear them. Anyway, congratulations and bye. Oh, and thanks for the mention on the podcast. Bye.
Oh, well, thanks, my lady, as they say at the Renaissance Fair. You know, I appreciate those kind words. Yes, many people have asked why episode 1 and 2 aren't available. And unfortunately, they are under lock and key until the rapture comes. So, They do exist. If you were lucky enough to have heard them at one time, you're probably among the luckiest people in America, because they were honestly my best work. But I had to put them away because everybody was always like, hey, I love your podcast, but not as good as episode 1 and 2. So I figured, well, if I just deleted them off, people would stop saying that. So, you know, the benchmark has been lowered now that those episodes are gone. I honestly don't remember why I took those off. I remember there was something about the Hulk cartoon on one of them. That's all I remember. But it was good stuff, you know, the golden age, if you will. But I'd love to play the Fat Albert theme song in the cartoon. Is damn, that's one of the best cartoon theme songs of all time. Yeah, definitely a great theme song. I had the show on pause here for a second, so I hope that didn't come back. We did our top 100 TV theme songs of all time, and Fat Albert ranked as the number 9. I wrote about that on that feature, if I don't mind me reading to you here. First of all, you know what's great about this theme is that it was composed by Herbie Hancock. So it's got a great pedigree there, and it's performed by Michael Gray, a guy named Michael Fournier, and a female vocal in this song is Kim Carnes, who's famous for doing the Betty Davis Eyes song. And what I wrote was, the infectious theme to Fat Albert makes good on its promise that you're going to have a good time. It's such a great, happy song with a funky greatness that no other cartoon theme has ever achieved. The theme was composed by jazz funk legend Herbie Hancock, who was fresh off a spell of working for Miles Davis and was hired by Bill Cosby to create music for the new cartoon. Now, record executives were so impressed with Hancock's work that they funded a new album called Fat Albert Rotunda, which centered around the style of the music that Hancock did for the cartoon. For the longest time, I thought that Bootsy Collins sang the theme song. Sure sounds like him, but I found several sources that I still have trouble believing that Michael Gray was the singing voice for the theme, who is also known for playing Billy Batson in the live-action Shazam show from the 70s. Even more weird than that is that Kim Betty Davis Eyes Carnes provides the female vocals in the theme. This is funny. I mentioned Steve from the Sneeze earlier, but I wrote here, fellow Fat Albert fan Steve from the Sneeze says, Bill Cosby would always end the song with, if you're not careful, you might learn something before it's done. But no one ever learned that calling him Fat Albert to his face might hurt his feelings. Poor tubby bastard. So, anyway, without further ado, I think it's time to have a good time and play the Fat Albert theme song.
This is Bill Cosby coming at you with music and fun. And if you're not careful, you may learn something before it's done.
Man, that's almost TV theme song perfection. Not a big fan of the Fat Albert cartoon myself. I'd watch it. You know, I'd watch about anything as a kid, to be honest with you. But I never really looked forward to see Fat Albert. A little too preachy sometimes. And I think it was Arsenio Hall back when he was doing stand-up comedy in the 80s. I remember he had a bit that, like, you know, well, that was great role models for black kids, you know, kids, black kids playing in a junkyard. That was a great cartoon for us to look up to. But anyway, Fat Albert, thanks for the memories there. Love that theme song, much like I love my own children there. I really like going to somethingawful.com. It's a great website. Richard Kiyanka is probably one of the the premier internet funny man, and he's got a great bunch of contributors there, that's for sure. And the message boards are just fantastic, the forums that he has there. And there's so many thousands of users on there that they're always bringing up something great. And one of the things I saw on there recently was a bunch of YouTube clips of the Maury Povich Show. Now, if you've ever seen the Maury Povich Show, one of the old standbys on this is that they'll do paternity test themes episode. You know, who's the real father of my child? Sometimes they'll have three different guys. And they do paternity tests to see which one's the actual father of this woman's kid. They've even had extremes where it's like one woman has taken a paternity test 20 different times with different men and still can't find out who the father of her kid is. And to think that she's actually got that many to choose from is pretty shocking. Now, as is the case with Jerry Springer and Maury Povich and other shows, a lot of these things are staged or fake. You know, in fact, I went to high school with somebody who was a fake Jerry Springer guest. But it's sure good entertainment, nonetheless. And what I wanted to share with you now was really pretty funny. Is a sort of a montage of different clips from these "Let's See Who the Real Father Is" episodes here, and it's certainly a showcase of the best that humanity has to offer.
Andrew, you are not the father.
That's okay. You are the father.
You are not. Case of 10-month-old baby Dante. Abe, you are not.
I love my wife, but she's a nasty whore.
Wait a second. How does somebody say, I love my wife, but she's a nasty whore? How do you say that? Here's Stephen. Stephen, come on out. You are not the father. And when it comes to one-year-old Tanisha, Stephen, you are not the father.
There you go.
Camarita.
Give it to that hoe.
We'll find out who the father is. It's okay. We'll find out who it is, all right? It's okay. We'll find out.
What's your secret?
I cheated on my husband with two different men. I had to tell you something before you decide if you want to stay with me for the rest of your life. And what I have to tell you is that I cheated on you with two different people.
And tell him everything.
And that there's a chance that Kanan and Kayla aren't yours.
Freddie, I know this is hard for you, okay?
I gave her everything, Maury. Everything. Okay. And this is how she repays me?
Freddie, in the case of 3-year-old Michaela, you are not the father. Missy, you can't think it. Missy.
I'm sorry.
In the case of 1-year-old Kayden, Freddie, you are not.
Wow, that's pretty heavy. What I didn't include was the audio clips that showed that though none of those men were the father of the children that they thought that they were the fathers of. 70s music legend Leo Sayer was actually the DNA match father for every single one of them. So way to go, Leo. That's a way to go. Well, that's about, I was about to say that's about all the time we have for today, but, you know, I got a few more things to talk about if you're willing to listen. You know, I used to be a big fan of Survivor, the CBS show, and it got a little old and a little stale, and I was surprised to see that they did a little something new this year. for the fall season to spice it up a bit. And this is just so crazy. What they're going to do is they're going to have four different teams, or tribes as they call them, to start the show out. And for the 20 people that are contestants on the show, they're going to put them in four different teams. There's going to be a team of five Asians, five white people, five black people, and five Hispanics. And I guess these people don't know that they're going to be separated by race, and it's going to be like a surprise to them on the first episode. And they're going to use it to explore racial issues and be controversy and obviously get ratings, you know, because you know, people are going to want to tune in to kind of cheer for their home team, I would think. You know, just like as you watch the World Cup and cheer for your home country, maybe people will be doing that for Survivor. But, you know, I think it's going to be funny because it's obviously going to bring up a lot of stereotype issues and things like that. But I think what they should do is come up with special challenges. You know, one of the things in Survivor is they do these physical challenges and mental challenges where the team can win immunity so that they don't have to vote somebody off their team. And I think it'd be funny if they did challenges that sort of played to the stereotypes of their teams. You know, like maybe they have you know, an accounting contest, or maybe they have the team see who could climb over a giant fence and run 300 yards the fastest, or maybe a slam dunk basketball competition. You know, all these things. And if you thought I was being racist by saying that stuff, I didn't mention any of those races. You put those all together yourself. So you're basically as bad as Hitler. Just letting you know that right now. And let's see, what else do we got going on in this great world? We've got this creepy dude who says that he killed JonBenet Ramsey. And he also said he killed the Lindbergh baby, though. So I don't know how much credence we can give the validity of his claims. Let's see, what else we got going on here? Basketball season's going to start in 3 months. That's kind of exciting. Not really yet, though, huh? Our friend Gord Lacey over at TVShowsOnDVD.com has announced a lot of interesting new things. The Electric Company is going to come out with a second DVD set, The Best of the Electric Company Volume 2. I really like the way they're doing those sets. They're just sort of doing best of collections instead of the whole giant-ass entire season there. And Magnum P.I. Season 5 finally coming out on DVD, as well as Season 5 of Tales from the Crypt. And the final season of Three's Company, which had the last episode on there that went into the Two's a Crowd, I think it was called. And lastly, we have a really cool set of The Greatest American Hero, where it's going to be this really cool tin case with every single episode of the show, a facsimile of the costume's instruction manual, a cape, and an iron-on emblem. All will be included on there. And I think it's only going to retail for $77, which ain't bad for all those seasons there. So, pretty cool stuff on the horizon there. Well, on this new Wussy FM Light Rock 2CD set I got, one of the songs here I had never heard before. I guess it's a classic from the 70s. It's called Lonely Boy by Andrew Gold. And check out this song here. I'm going to play just the beginning of it here so we can talk about it a little further. And with the slap of a hand, he had landed as an only son. His mother and father said, what a lovely boy. We'll teach him what we learned. Oh, yes, just what we learned. We'll dress him up warmly and we'll send him to school. It'll teach him how to fight to be. So this song basically goes on. It shows you that you know, he was born this only child, and they dressed him up warmly. And he talks about what a lonely boy this kid was because his parents dressed him up warmly. And then he has a sister, and he's mad that he's not an only child anymore. So it says, "What a lonely boy," because now he has a sister. And then when it's 1969, when he's 18, and he moves out of the house. And his sister has a baby, and now he says, oh, what a lonely boy that kid will be. And, God, it's about one of the worst songs I've ever heard. First time I heard it, I just thought, you know, what the hell? He's crying about being lonely because he got a sister? That doesn't even make any sense. You know, and I thought, well, I can't be the only one who shares this opinion. And sure enough, I looked on the internet, and there's a lot of people who rank this among the worst songs ever. In fact, I found an interview with Andrew Gold, who, by the way, wrote the theme song to the Golden Girls, so you got to give him some credit for being okay. But the interviewer said, so can I ask you about this song, Lonely Boy? Got a question for you. I'm sure you've been asked this a lot of times. And then he replies, oh, you mean whether it's autobiographical or not? So obviously he has been asked it a lot of times. And the guy says, who wrote the song, he says, well, yeah, I mean, what's the deal with that song? And he says, well, it's nothing like my real life, really. And a lot of he acknowledges that a lot of people say this is one of the worst songs ever written. But it was supposed to be more like 10 minutes long, and it was going to explain more things that was going on in his life. But I kept it down to 3 minutes, and it ended up being more of a hit that way. But pretty bad song there. I'm kind of harping on it too much, perhaps. But I have to say, Andrew Gold's Lonely Boy, one of the worst songs I've ever heard in my whole life. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast week after week. Let me know what you think, if there's ideas that you have. Again, our voicemail hotline you can call is 916-231-9480. You can visit the website at retrocrush.com. We got the myspace.com/retrocrush. And always email me, rberry@retrocrush.com. I really love hearing from you. Of course, we got the contest as well. So I'm going to leave you today with the theme song to the Buddy Ebsen drama crime fighting classic television series from the 70s, Barnaby Jones.
Andrew, you are not the father.